Thank you, Miss Dot. Thank you again for ministering to our hearts in song. Did you pay attention to the words that were just sung? Were you listening? I trust that you were. Although I may not clearly see, I will lift my voice and sing, because your love does amazing things. To this end, that God knows where we are. He knows what is going on in our hearts and lives. He knows where we have been. He knows where we need to be. He knows everything about us. He knows about the emotions with which we deal, that are difficult, that are tough, that cause us grief from time to time. God knows all about us because He's the one that made us. The psalmist would tell us that our days, our times are in His hands, and would go on to say, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And so that's part of why we are here this morning, is to apply our hearts unto wisdom and to learn what it is that God wants us to know from His Word about how to deal with what goes on in our lives. I'd like to ask you at this time, if you would, to bow your heads and hearts with me again as we pray. And as you do such this morning, I'm going to ask you to go to that place where only you and God do business with one another. That area in your heart where you talk to Him in the stillness of the night. And I want to spend just a few fleeting seconds with you right there, right now. And I want to ask you to do this today. I trust that you are willing, with an open heart, to listen to what God is going to say to all of us through His Word this morning. And if you are willing to do that, if you're willing to listen to what God says to all of us, and then you are willing to take the steps necessary to make things different based on His Word, I want you to just slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing then also to make the changes that I need to make in my life." I want you to slip them up. Hold them there for just a second. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we come to you again this morning, and we ask you to come meet with us. We ask you to speak to our hearts in a very real and very powerful way this morning. For God, you alone are awesome in who you are and in what you do. And Father, we need your presence today more than anything else. We need you to speak into our lives and to change us from what we are into what we need to be for your glory. Help us again to look to you and to learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you are on your way in your copy of the Word of God to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and yes, as you can tell, I have gone ahead and taken my jacket off on a Sunday morning, which means that we're getting ready to get down to some very serious business with what we are discussing today. You have already looked in your bulletin, I trust. You already have in your hands a copy of the study guide that was in the bulletin that dealt with the topic with which we are covering today. One of the greatest problems in the life of a Christian, and in our churches even, is something that is hard to admit, though easy to recognize, especially easy to recognize in others at times. It is one of the most destructive and dangerous of all human emotions. And if not dealt with, listen carefully, please, if not dealt with, it will spiritually destroy the person who has it. It can rob you of peace and joy. It is an open door for Satan to control your life. It can lead to the loss of good friends. It can destroy your relationship with your family. It can even lead to the breakup of your home. It makes peace and harmony impossible where it exists. No true biblical love is present when this emotion takes root in our heart. It destroys any true fellowship with the Lord, and it will keep you from growing as you should in Christ. It will defeat you and ruin your life and the lives of others around you if you allow it to persist. What is this thing? It is the sin of bitterness. Bitterness has the following definition, and I want you to take note of this quickly today. Having a sharp, pungent taste or smell, not sweet. Or a second definition, causing pain or unhappiness. It is the feeling of hurt, resentment, anger, and even hate that can build up in our hearts when we have been hurt by another person or by an experience in life. It can be directed towards other people, and listen to me carefully today, it can be directed even towards God. Bitterness can. My Bible is open this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in just a moment from verse number 12, but let me give you a little bit of background before we dive in to this passage. Hebrews was written towards the end of the first century AD. By the time of its writing, Jerusalem had been destroyed, and Jewish believers had been greatly persecuted. They had been harassed and mistreated. In many situations, families and friends turned against these new converts to Christianity. Because of these circumstances, there was a real danger that these young Christians would turn bitter, and in doing such, that they would return to Judaism and give up on the Lord. These young believers were prime candidates for bitterness, as are we when people hurt us, when they take advantage of us, or when they betray us. Therefore, the Holy Spirit moved upon the human penman of this book to write words of encouragement and instruction to help them and to help us deal with emotions that often get in our way. And let me explain something to you quickly today. If not careful, this emotion, probably more than any of the ones that we've discussed up to this point, will get in our way and will do that list of things that I mentioned a couple of moments ago. It will cause no true biblical love to be present. It will cause peace and joy to be absent from our lives when bitterness gets in our way and when we allow it to take root. And so this morning, we're going to take a hard look at how to win the battle against bitterness. And I want you to look with me in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse number 12 this morning. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Look at verse number 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Well, this morning, as you follow along with me, I want us to take a real hard look, and that's, again, part of why I even took my jacket off this morning, because if you think that it has been deep and heavy in what we have been discussing up to this point, and having looked at depression and having looked at anger last week, this is probably the heaviest topic to date that we are dealing with. Because as we look at this issue of bitterness, I want you to pay close attention to that last verse that we read a moment ago about how that a root of bitterness could spring up, and if it happens, it doesn't just trouble us, but many can be defiled because of it. So follow along with me as we look first of all at the root of bitterness, as we see its cause. I have a question for you quickly as we dive into this material today. How does bitterness take roots in your heart? There is part of a simple answer to this, and I have it on your study guide for you. Before there is a root, there is a seed. Now, I want you to listen very carefully on this sort of point today, because I'm convinced today more than ever that in a lot of ways, even in our churches, that we deal with fruit issues so many times. We deal with things that have grown to fruition and problems that come in our lives. We've dealt with this thing or that thing or something else that, Brother John, is a fruit issue. And yet so often we never bother to get to the root of the problem. Before bitterness, though, can even take root in our lives, there's a seed that is planted. The seed is planted and the plant begins to grow. A root exists beneath the surface. It is invisible to the eye, but it is very real. The seed is planted when someone does you wrong, or when you perceive that you have been done wrong. It could begin when you were disappointed or hurt. Sometimes the person who hurts us does it unintentionally, being insensitive, not knowing what they said or did. Sometimes, though, it is deliberate. In either case, the seed sprouts unseen by others, and it begins to take root. The problem comes when we do not deal with the things properly. Boy, if that's not a very sensible way for us to begin to look at most everything in our lives. The problem comes when we don't deal with things properly, when we don't go to God's Word, and when we don't go to Him in prayer asking for His help. That's when the problem comes, when we don't deal with things properly. Instead of returning love for hurt, we disregard the grace of God, and we allow pain to further infect us. Bitterness begins when, instead of forgiving, we become resentful. And we allow hatred to grow towards others. We think the person should know what they did and that they should correct their behavior, but they go on as if nothing has happened. Well, the Word of God teaches, ladies and gentlemen, that forgiveness is not based on merit, but on grace, because we choose to forgive and not hold resentment. In fact, in Matthew 6, verse number 12, and I need you to turn over there quickly with me, Matthew 6, verse 12, Jesus said that we are to ask for forgiveness as we are forgiving others. Look at it in the passage. Matthew 6, 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, we've dealt with this thought up to this point before we've even come to this day. We've talked about the fact that we have been forgiven so that we can forgive others. God has graced us so that we can be gracious towards others. If God has been good to you, if God has been kind to you, and He has been good and kind and gracious and merciful and long-suffering, if He has been all of that to you, then you and I are to be that to others. That's part of what Jesus is getting across here in Matthew 6. The word debt means that it is owed to us, or in this verse, someone who has offended or sinned against us. In Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus shows us the seriousness of the matter when he says these words, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Okay, time out for just a minute. How many of you in here like people to be kind to you? How many of you like people to forgive you when you do something wrong? You do, I trust. Then let's just put this in nice, good Calpinese today. In our modern vernacular, if you want people to forgive you, then you need to be one who practices forgiveness to them. If you want people to be kind to you, then you be kind to them. I have often felt, and I might get myself into a little bit of hot water this morning, but I've often felt that if we had other people treat us the way that we treat them sometimes, we wouldn't have any friends or any family or any future. Because sometimes we treat other people so unkindly, but boy, if we were to have them treat us that way, man, we'd get offended and we'd get mad and we'd stomp off. But you know what? If we want people to be kind to us, we need to be kind to them. If we want people to forgive us when we make a mistake, and newsflash for everybody, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. Sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes we blew it, okay? We did something majorly wrong there. But if we want somebody to be kind to us, then we need to be kind to them. As we look at the root of bitterness, at its cause, let me point out something to you quickly. A bitter person is usually someone who has been hurt. You find somebody that's bitter, it's because they've been hurt. That makes some sense, doesn't it? And we are hurt in three specific ways. Usually, there are three ways in which we are hurt. Number one, by what is done to us. Number two, by what is said about us. And number three, by what is taken from us. Did you get that this morning? By what is done to us, by what is said about us, or number three, by what is taken from us. Well, this may, again, seem like a very simplistic way for me to express a part of this today, but years ago, Brother Todd, my mom pulled me aside when I was having a difficulty dealing with something as a child in school, and my mom pulled me aside, and she spoke some words of wisdom to me that went something like this, that we can do nothing about what somebody else thinks, says, or does where we are concerned. That I, that you, that we are powerless about what someone else thinks, says, or does where we are concerned. But we have the control over what we think, say, or do once they have hurt us. Are you listening? We have choices that we can make. We can choose to have a right attitude and a right spirit about things. And yes, a bitter person is usually someone who has been hurt, and we're hurt by three specific ways: by what is done to us, by what is said about us, by what is taken from us. Bitterness, even in a believer's life, listen carefully, represents a spiritual failure. The Christian is to live by God's principles, and one vital principle that is shown over and over again in the Scriptures is forgiving those that hurt us. It is impossible. I wish that I could stand before you this morning and tell you that you can go through life and never get hurt. Man, that would sound wonderful, wouldn't it? If I could stand in the pulpit today and tell you that you can go through life and you'll never get hurt, you'll never get disappointed, no one will ever let you down, and you will just tiptoe your way through the tulips and float on into glory one day. Man, that sounds good. There's just one problem with that, Brother Mitchell. It's not reality. It's not life. It's impossible to go through life without being hurt, whether physically or emotionally or even spiritually. Sometimes we're going to get hurt because we don't respond correctly. My youngest son, sitting here on the third row, within a 9-week period of time, broke his arm not once, Brother Olin, but twice. Within a 9-week period of time. After the second visit to the hospital, I was afraid that we were going to get investigated by DSS. And yet, it's a stark reminder that we hurt in this life. It's impossible to go through it without getting hurt. There are times, there will be times, when we are wronged. But what is very frustrating and very difficult with which to deal is when we have been hurt and the person who hurts us goes on as if nothing has ever happened. That's what's hard to deal with. A number of years ago, I spoke with a young mother who was very bitter about her father and how he had abused her when she was a child. She was now married with children of her own, but she was still struggling with a lot of bitterness in her heart. Part of her bitterness, and I need you to listen carefully, came from the fact that her father was a pastor of a church. Her mother stood by her father, as did the church members. He privately told her that she had no right to destroy his ministry just because he had roughed her up a few times. And she was the victim, and yet she was being treated as if she had done nothing wrong. And so she was fighting bitterness, and understandably so. You say, Pastor, how does bitterness occur in my life today? Let me give you some examples. A hard-working employee is passed over for a position, and it is given to someone who did not deserve it, and bitterness begins. A spouse is unfaithful and walks out on the one who loved them, and bitterness can begin. A friend talks about another friend and betrays their confidence, and bitterness can begin. One child is praised, and another child's achievements are ignored or made little of, and if not careful, bitterness will take root in the heart of that child. A tragedy happens, and a child perhaps might even die, and bitterness comes up in the hearts of parents. A husband or wife leaves the spouse alone and in debt, and again, if not careful, bitterness takes root. All these things and many, many more can cause bitterness in a person's heart. That's the root. That's the cause. Let's move secondly to the fruit of bitterness, its results. What exactly is the result of bitterness? Let me give these to you quickly. Number one, bitterness causes harm to the person, listen to this, who holds it. That's really where bitterness does its most deadly work. It will rob you of your peace of mind, of joy in your life, and of satisfaction. Most of all, it will deeply hurt your pride and saturate your mind. You find yourself constantly thinking about the person who hurt you. You cannot get over it or get it out of your mind. S.I. McQuilkin once said, "The moment I start hating a person, I become that person's slave. I can't enjoy life. He or she controls my thoughts. I can't escape their grasp on my mind. He or she may be many miles away, yet always on my mind when I start hating that person." and when bitterness takes root. Stories told of a very, very bitter old man that had been bitten by a rabid raccoon. He goes to the doctor. Several tests are run. And the doctor walks back into the examination room and says, "Sir, I'm sorry to tell you, but you now have rabies." The man immediately picked up a piece of paper and picked up a pen and began to write some things. And the doctor says, are you making out your will? He said, "No, I'm just writing down a list of all the people I'm going to bite before I die." Well, that's a bitter person. That's somebody who has allowed some hurt that has been done to them in the past to take root, and now it's got some very devastating results in their lives. So bitterness causes harm to the person who holds it. Number two, bitterness will sadden your spirit. Bitterness is actually a depressant, if you want to look at it in medical terms. There are no happy, bitter people. Boy, if there has never been an oxymoron, that is one right there. There is no one who is a bitter, happy person. That's, again, an oxymoron. That's like jumbo shrimp, okay? That's an oxymoron. Somebody cannot be bitter and happy at the same time. It's kind of like me looking at someone and saying that they are a bitter Christian. Those two words, Brother Todd, don't go together. Because if I'm a Christian, if Jesus Christ lives in my life, then my life will be overflowing with joy because of Him. I won't be a bitter person where Jesus truly is allowed to live and grow in my heart and life. But bitterness will sadden your spirit. It will blow out the candle of joy in your heart. It will make you critical, pessimistic, and negative. It will rob you of getting any enjoyment out of life. You get the woe is me syndrome, and everything will be seen through the colored lens of bitterness, and it's dark and it's depressing. Number three, bitterness can sicken your body. Let me again point out the fact that God did not create our bodies to harbor bitter feelings towards others. It has been said that not every sick person is bitter, but every bitter person will eventually get sick. Boy, that's an interesting thought there. It will ruin your health and even kill you. Yet, it is a sickness that can be prevented and completely cured if we'll let Dr. Jesus do what needs to be done in our lives. Number four, bitterness hurts those around you. It will hurt your children if you are bitter against another Christian. It will hurt your church. It will hurt even your relationship with God if you are bitter towards people and towards God. It'll hurt your relationship with Him. Marriages have been destroyed by bitterness. It will rob you of your testimony, even. Look with me, if you would, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Turn to that passage with me quickly. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This morning, the Word of God says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." Hey, listen, bitterness and Christian love can't exist in the same heart at the same time. It will rob you of your service and reward for the Lord. Often bitterness grows and a person becomes so disheartened that they give up on God. Man, I've seen this happen. I've been a pastor for enough years And I hate to put it like this morning, I've seen people sitting in our churches that are bitter and that are angry. And they have allowed that to poison their lives and sadly even the lives of others. Bitterness affects our relationship with the Lord, and God cannot bless in this sinful state. It will rob you of the blessings of the Lord, as God cannot bless a person who is not living filled and guided by the Holy Spirit. For you'll come to number 5 this morning, and you will find that bitterness, ladies and gentlemen, is, look at this, sin. Plain simple. Sin breaks our fellowship with God, and when that happens, we do not have His blessing or His guidance. That's what sin does. And so we've looked at the cause of bitterness, the root of bitterness, its cause, the fruit of bitterness, its results. Now, number 3, we need to talk about overcoming bitterness. And how do we do it? Exactly how do we overcome these bitter feelings in our lives? Like any sin, we must first admit it. Oh, I need you listening very intently right now. You and I will never get the help we need unless we first come to a realization that, hey, I've got a problem here, and I need help in this area. And yet bitterness so often will even cause us, Brother Mitchell, to not want to admit that we've got bitterness. But we must first admit it. 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10, listen to this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, we love 1 John 1, 9, Brother Todd. But we love that, but we fail to see verse number 8, that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. I get tickled even at Joshua talking about things sometimes. Just a few weeks ago, Joshua came in telling us something that he had heard here at church. And he said, I heard it from Ruthie. It's got to be the truthie. Listen to this truth today. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Listen to me this morning. I love you. I'm your friend and I'm your pastor. But we need to recognize that bitterness is a sin, that anger is a sin, that depression, if left alone, and if it does what these other things do to us so many times, it results in sin in our lives. There's not a single person under the sound of my voice whose hands are clean. Well, we all have these issues with which we struggle. Verse number 10 of 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Yet there is a particular problem with admitting bitterness. It is so very hard to admit. And why is that the fact? Listen carefully, because it was not you, but the other person who did the wrong, who hurt you, who said what they did, who abused your heart, who belittled you. We feel that we are justified in feeling the way we do because we were the person who was wronged. What makes it worse is when the person who hurt us often goes on in life with no apparent ill effect. They got away with hurting us and they feel no remorse about it. They hurt us and they walk on like, well, big deal. I don't care that you're hurt. It's your problem. Deal with it. They make no apology. They don't feel bad about what they did at all. But James 3:14 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. If you've got that, you need to admit that. You must forgive the person who has wronged you. This is how we do it. This is how we overcome bitterness. We must forgive the person who has wronged you. If it was a husband, a wife, a church, a family member, or a friend, even if it was a parent, no matter what they did to you or how they harmed you, you must forgive them. Hello? You must forgive them. Human nature, the carnal nature of man, says, this person has hurt me so bad, I can never forgive them. Maybe they continue to hurt you and seem to take pleasure in it, therefore we feel justified in our resentment towards them. Yet as a believer, we have been shown the love and forgiveness of Christ. He died for us when we were in rebellion against Him. He loved us and showed us that love by paying our sin debts. When we didn't even know Him, Brother John, He loved us. When we were unlovable, He loved us. In fact, Romans 5:8 would remind us, but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that He forgave us. Ladies and gentlemen, when we didn't even know that He existed, He loved us enough to die for our sins. And so we have been shown such love, and because of that, we must forgive those who have hurt us. Bitterness is bondage, yet there is great joy in being set free from it. Let me mention two other things to you, and I'll be done. Several years ago, a young couple began attending a Baptist church in the Midwest. They had been saved only a few months when they announced that they needed prayer. They had experienced several miscarriages and had just discovered that they were again expecting. The congregation responded, and they had the most prayed for baby in the whole church. After the child's birth, their fears were again realized when their baby died just a few hours after its birth. Their pastor joined them, as well as their unsaved family members were present. After a time of sorrow, the attending physician asked if they would like to hold their baby one last time. And they said yes. And then something marvelous took place. Instead of being angry at God, instead of questioning Him or complaining, they took their child, a little girl named Mindy, and placed it in the arms of their unsaved parents. And they said, and I quote, "If you don't trust Christ, you'll never see Mindy again. But we will be spending eternity with her." In the weeks that followed, the young couple's family came to church, and they heard the gospel, and they were gloriously saved. If they had responded in bitterness, who knows what might have happened? But they used the joy of the Lord that passes all understanding and saw their family come to Christ. The invitation this morning is simple. As Christ loved you, so too are you to love your neighbor, no matter what the sin against you has been. Forgive them and put it aside. Turn the matter over to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you for your bitter feelings, and then forgive that person. I have one final statement on your study guide that I need you to see today. It's from one of my favorite figures from Southern history, great Christian gentleman, General Robert E. Lee, who said, "It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain, to let bitterness take root and poison the rest of our life. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, a few moments ago you told me that you would listen with an open heart, and that then you would be obedient to what God said for you to do. I recognize full well the type of message that I have preached this morning, and I recognize how difficult it is not just to give an invitation, but then also to respond to one today. For again, no one wants to admit that they have been harboring feelings of bitterness. So here's what we're going to do today. In the quiet stillness of the moment right now, where you sit, and as God has and is continuing to speak to your hearts today, I need you to express and to exhibit some courage this morning. I need you to have courage enough to, in a second, when we sing, to take a step out of your pew and down an aisle and to come forward and to talk with God about the hurt that you have experienced in your life. I'm not saying to you, I'm not saying to anyone today that everyone who responds to this invitation is someone that has been a bitter, mean person. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that we need to be responsive to the Lord and to His calling upon our hearts to this end. If you have been hurt, if you are hurting, and if you do not want to let bitterness spring up in your life, and you want God to help you deal with how you feel right now, then I need you to come in just a minute. I need you to bow in this altar, and I need you to talk to your Father about what's going on in your life, about how you've been hurt, about how you're feeling right now, and how you need His help to overcome it. Be obedient today. Do what God tells you to do, and let Him bring real healing in your life when you come to Him. Father, thank You again for this day that You've given us. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for blessing us abundantly with mercy and with grace. And God, I pray right now that You will speak to hearts that will respond accordingly, and that will let real life-changing things happen today as we listen to Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.